Fairy tales expand our dreaming. Fairy tales expand our dreaming. Many times we think that fairy tales are not beneficial, that fairy tales are sort of mean, like Grimm's fairy tales, and some of them are very terrible. But we watched Rumpelstiltskin the other night, and in watching Rumpelstiltskin, it was very exquisitely done. The castle was very real. The king was, it was about King Midas, you know, and the king was very real about how he did things and how he acted and his insensibility of only for what he wanted, for gold, and how it brought him many unhappinesses in his life. We didn't get to the full story of King Midas. The full story of King Midas, as you may recall, where everything he touched turned to gold, including his daughter and his wife and his family and everything. Now, fairy tales expand our thinking, our dreaming. How do they expand our dreaming? They cause us to see nothing is impossible. And if something is said that cannot be done, like in Rumpelstiltskin, Rumpelstiltskin said, "You must tell, nobody knows my name." And then he said, "I will help you weave your straw into gold, but you must give me some special thing that means something to you." So the young Miller's daughter gave him a necklace she had. And so he spun the gold for her. And then the next night she had to do it again because the king says, "More, more, more." And so she did it again, but he said, "What are you going to give me?" And he said, "Well, I have a ring. I'll give you my ring." And so he said, "Very good." And so she gave him the ring. And so the next night he had to do it three times, which was really not fair, but it was in the book. It was in the book of rules of the kingdom. And you see, who writes the book of rules of the kingdom? It's the story writer, whoever's telling the story. So you can tell it any way you want. And you can make it logical and reasonable and unlogical and unreasonable and just have a good time. So I said to her the third time, "Okay, now what are you going to give me to spin this last batch of gold, straw into gold?" He didn't say, "You've got a whole room full of straw here. You got so much more than you had before." He didn't touch me at all. But he says, "What are you going to give me?" And she says, "I have nothing. I have the clothes on my body, and I have this and that." And he didn't ask for the clothes. He just said, "Well, if you cannot think of something you want to give me," she might have said, "I'll give you my attention. I'm going to marry the prince, and I'm going to have children, and we will set you free in the castle as a good, noble being, you know." She could have said anything like that, but no. He said, "All right, if you can't think of something, I will tell you I want your firstborn child." And she knew that if she didn't weave that gold for the king, that she would be killed. And there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Not only she'd be killed, but her daddy would be killed, and everybody else in her family would be killed, and everything be put out of order. Oh, that was a pretty tough decision for her. So without thinking what it really meant, she said, "Okay, I'll give you my child." Then it came time to give him her child when the child was born, and she didn't want to do it. And she said, I can't give up my child. I can't. Now, this is a good story, a good fairy tale, a good expanding our dreaming. Because what would you think if that were happening to you? You think, "All is lost, all is lost." And she says, "I can't give up my child. I can't." So in the fairy tale, she tells it the way she wants to tell it. And so then she knew he'd come around like he did before with another possibility. "All right. If you can tell me my name in 3 days, if you know what my name is, and nobody knows what my name is, I will let you have your child." Well, the raven, who was a friend of the Rumpelstiltskin, he saw that the princess was being misused and being harmed, and actually the little girl who was with the princess who the princess befriended the raven who was tied on a knot. And she freed the raven without a thought, without thinking that's a naughty raven or that's a bad raven or good raven. She just freed the raven because it was caught. And the raven didn't forget. And when it came down to the wire to say, "What is my name?" the raven shouted to the little girl, "Rumpelstiltskin." But the little girl was dumb. She could not speak. She had not used her voice. She had not spoken one single word. And so she took a mirror and she looked at herself. She said, "Rump, rump, rump," until she finally said Rumpelstiltskin, the name it was. And she came in at the last minute and saved the princess and her child. And how did that happen? It's all a fairy tale. Where you expand your dreaming, you open your mind up to all the possibilities that can be. And you don't fruitless, you don't say hopeless, you don't say helpless, you don't say any of these silly things. You say, "Okay, there's a way, there is a way, and I will know that way." All fairy tales come across to show you that the impossible is not impossible. It's reasonable. And you say, "But that's a fairy tale. We cannot believe in fairy tales. We cannot look at fairy tales and say that they are wonderful and they are good and they are fantastic." Fairy tales expand our dreaming. And when you look at the Rumpelstiltskin, he appeared and disappeared. He appeared this, and then they tried to do different things to Rumpelstiltskin, and they had control over him, but otherwise he was able to appear and disappear. And that was the goodness of his nature that allowed him to appear and disappear. The goodness of his nature allowed him to be free and to be secure from problems. But when his nature was not being good, when it was being evil, then he could not escape. He could not disappear as he had done before. He could not run away. And the evil Rumpelstiltskin was destroyed. Not with meanness, not that the queen, that is the princess and the prince were concerned. They were only concerned that goodness reign in the castle. You and I live a life of fairy tales. Every moment of our life we're living a fairy tale. We're living a fairy tale where we say all is in divine order. Beautiful things are happening now. This is a wonderful world. All is fantastic. All is glorious. All is good. Wow, 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 wow. And you say these things and you mean these things and you don't really know what you're saying. Because what you're really saying is a little bit of sugar makes the medicine that goes down. Mm-hmm. Dream. Your wildest dream. Look at the imagination that you have inside you and watch it reveal itself when you turn to it and let it reveal itself. All the fairy tales of the world are just somebody's imagination having a good time. And along with that imagination comes a little bit of sincerity, a little bit of unconditional love, a little bit of feeling that anything is possible. Any dream is possible, any goal is possible, any desire is possible to be fulfilled if you want to. But if you feel that it can't be done, what you do is you give up. You give up your right to be all that you want to be. And when you claim it, it may take a little stumbling here and there to get over the past experiences of saying it can't be done. But the minute you get past that, the minute you realize that all is in divine order now, all is possible now, all is probable now, all is already now. If you can already think it, dream it, imagine it, it's done. It's already done. And a fairy tale really tells you what's already done, because you've let go of your limited beliefs, as the human limitations might have you, and you've taken on the unlimited, and all is divine right now for you and for all, forevermore. Fairy tales expand our dreaming. Join me and expand your dreaming today, unlimited, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.